Yes, I wanted to. There was something in Gaza that I did that I wanted to correct, maybe, and elaborate on. That was that I said even Lovin Harami, who was a Russia, and who really intended to destroy everybody, the Lovin Bikesh Lakar Sokol. So I mentioned that the pasuk says that Habonim Bonai, Habonos Bnosai, Vachol Asher Torah Lihu. So he said that everything's mine. Everything's mine, and I have a right to destroy everything, because that's what he intended to do. To destroy. Yeah. So then the pasuk continues, and it says, "Umo'es el yom, hold his name, Asher Yilavu." So Rashi quotes quotes a medrash that says, "Eich yal alibi, how could I even have a havamina? How could I even entertain the thought that I'm going to harm my own children?" Mo'es el yom. Olav Ne'am Asher Yilavu. So how could I even have a havamin to harm them? They're my children. So there you see the Torah depicts a perfect case of a total conflict. That on the one hand, Habonim Bonai, V'chol Asher HaTorah Elihu, that's endless greed, and I have a right to destroy everything. And on the other hand, he has the tenderest emotions. How could I possibly entertain the thought that I'm going to harm my children, these children? And then, in order to restrain himself, so he made the gal, and he made a shvuah, and he swore both by Elokei Avram and Elohei Nochah. And he said, and he knew the shvuah will restrain him from doing harm. It's kind of like he said, he was in total conflict and he had to tie himself up. So how did he do it? With the shvuah. Elokei Avram, Elohei Nochah. And he swore and he respected the shvuah, and therefore he restrained himself from doing any harm. So, and then it says, by Anashe Levonov of Nosa, by Avarachasa. So you see, he kissed them and he blessed them and he felt emotionally very attached to them, brought back the emotions. So the tender feelings that he had were reactivated. And that was the other side of Lovin Harami, the side that was attached to the good. So that side, in the end, he left them with that, with those feelings, with the good feelings. As a matter of fact, he told Yaakov that he shouldn't harm his daughters. He said that he shouldn't harm them and emotionally hold back from them and restrain living with them, and that would be a harm. So you shouldn't abuse my daughters. So there again you see that he had those feelings, those tender feelings towards his own children. And that was the normal part of Lovin Harami. So Lovin Harami was really a total conflict. Yeah. So we said that somebody mentioned to me, they said that the during the Nazi trials, so the children of one of the Nazis was crying when they heard the horrible things that the that their father did, and one of them was a Nazi of Russia. That not only did he drag the Jews into the furnaces in the death chambers. So not only did he drag them in there, but he used to torture them on the way there. So somebody asked me, they said that the children, when they heard that, were crying because they knew that the father also had very tender emotions towards his family. So they wanted to bring a riot. I'll be honest with you, emotionally I couldn't tolerate it. And I said, it can't be. A Nazi like that, Yimach Shemo, is a Russia gomer, and I can't see saying that he has any type of a schus or a good side. The emotions he has towards his family were really his own emotions. But let me just continue. That the psukim seem to bear this out, this idea, because the psukim say, "Umeshalim l'sonov alponov lahavido lo ya'achel l'shalmo." What's the end of the pasuk? Lo ya'achel l'shalmo alponov yavidlo. So you see, Mishalim the son of Alponov, by Havido. But he pays off the Russian in this world in order that he has nothing left in the next world. Okay, but one thing you see, that he pays off the Russian. So you see that the Russian is not a person that's devoid of schusim. He's not devoid of schusim. There's a good side too. He's not a total Russian. I mean, he's defined as a Russian, but it doesn't mean that there are no good elements in him as well. But the only thing is that the side that is evil overpowers him, just like by loving Arami, that the side of endless greed overpowered him. Abonim bonai v'chol asher tarol liyu, everything's mine. And the greedy side determined that it's all his, and therefore he has a right to destroy it. But like I said, it doesn't mean he didn't have any schusim. So the psukim seem, somebody pointed this out to me, and it's correct, that the psukim indicate clearly that Mishalim Alponov, that Alsonov Alponov La'avida, that the sonim of Russia also has schusim. And God pays him back for this chosen. So you see that he's not totally evil. Then you find also, Vayavo Apolit, Vayage Lavram HaRevri, that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that maybe this chos of Og Melech HaBoshen would save him. So you see that he recognized that even Og Melech HaBoshen was a Russia, but nevertheless, you see, he had a big schus, he saved Avraham Avinu. So you see, as I said, that the Russia isn't totally evil, but he has a good side too. And the only reason that he's a Russia is because he's dominated by the evil side. And that's another thing is that you see that when the Torah speaks about Mishpat or the Rambam and the Chazal, so they talk about a scale, that they weigh the sins, the Kodesh Baruch Hu weighs the sins and the mitzvahs. So you see that it's a scale. If the scale comes out stronger in terms of the evil, so he's a Russia. So there again you see that even the Russia is not devoid of schusim. The only thing is that he's dominated by the evil side, because the evil side is the side that's in control because of it, because there's more evil in him than good. But it doesn't mean there's no good. Yeah. So I was thinking that I remember when I read the book by Albert Speer. So he said, don't you think that Hitler had the tenderest emotions towards my children, love my children? So made me nauseous because I couldn't accept that Yimach Shemo Hitler has any kind of schus whatsoever. So the question that I'm raising is, what is the truth of the matter? Do we say that every Russia has a schus, has a good side? Or are there people like Nazis, Yimach Shemo, that have nothing? I say that, I told you, I said, I admit emotionally, I cannot accept the idea that Hitler, Yimach Shemo, had any schus. But what do we do with what we said until now? So I was thinking, the answer is like this. The answer is that loving our Rami, when we say he had tender emotions towards his kids, so Ramban says that just being a nice guy is not, you don't have a schus. That a person's a nice guy. Because a nice guy is just his temperament. But it's only if he's nice because it's Tzivui Hashem and he understands what he's doing that's good. But if he's just a nice guy, that's not a schus. So I was thinking like this, to resolve the whole issue, that by loving our Rami, the tender feelings that he had towards his daughters was because they were tzaddikim and tzidkanios, and he recognized the good. So there, the tender feelings are a schus, because it's a recognition of the good that's in the daughters. And the same thing is by Og Melech HaBashan, that he saved Avram. What it means is he recognized something in Avram that was good. It wasn't just that he saved him and because of an emotion. He saved him because there was some recognition of the good in Avram. But a person like Yimach Shemo Hitler, that has tender emotions towards Speer's kids, that's simply evil, because that's his own evil path. And the emotions he has towards Speer is part of the evil, because Speer is evil too. He's a Nazi, and the feelings are simply too because he loves Nazism. That's total evil. But when the Torah says that the Russia has chusim, it means that in the deeds that he does, there is a good. There's a connection to the good. That Og Melech HaBashan, even though it was a Russia, but he recognized something good in Avram. And that's a schus. That's a schus. Or loving Arami. And he recognized his children, his grandchildren. He saw that there was a good there. And the fact that he recognized the good, that was his schus. But there has to be a good. It can't just be Snami has their good emotions, like the Nazi that was on trial, and he would drag the Jews and torture them on the way to the gas chambers. That person is a Russia Goma. He has no schus whatsoever. And he had tender feelings towards his family, yeah, because they're all Nazis. And the tender feelings are simply a part of his expression and his love of evil. And there's no schus whatsoever. But a schus means that you could have a Russia, even like loving a Rami, but he has a recognition of the good. That's why he says, when he said, it's true, it was tender emotions, but in those tender emotions were more than emotions. It was really, the emotions were related to a good in his offspring. And because it was related to a good, That's why it was this chus. That's why he was a person that, as evil as he was, loving Bikesh Lakar Sokol, but nevertheless, he had emotions which indicated that there was an attachment, a draw to the good. It's true that his endless greed really dominated his life, and because of that, it would destroy even his own children in a fit of rage. But nevertheless, he had the other side too. And that's a Mishalim, the son of Alponov Lavido, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Beria, that God does not refrain from paying any Beria, any one of the Brios that has good. And even though it may be a Russia on the whole, but nevertheless, there is a part of him that is attached to the good. And it's true, that's not the part that dominates his life. That's why that's what it means when it says, they weigh the chatoyim kineged the mitzvahs. But he's dominated by the chatoyim, the Russia. But nevertheless, he does have mitzvah. He does have the good. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him back. So I think that really rounds off the whole point that I was making. And I think in that way we can only understand the true idea that a Rasha Gomer could be a Rasha Gomer and have no schosim whatsoever. That's a Rasha Gomer. But even a Rasha that is dominated by the evil, it doesn't mean that there's no part of him that is good. And that could be expressed in his emotions, but the emotions have to be a recognition towards someone that is truly good, because he recognizes the good. But not just some, that he has tender emotions, because if those emotions are towards a person that's evil, so he's considered completely evil. Okay, that's what I wanted to say.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
How do you know Lovin's emotions to his kids were recognition of the good? Maybe it was just the love of the self.
Well, this is the key, Abraham.
That could be, Yaakov wanted that.
But he recognized the truth. I mean, he recognized God to an extent.
Yeah, I knew there was a schus for Lovin. Og, you have a right, there's a schus for him, as I'll say. But how do you know by Lovin there was any schus for his emotions?
That's a good question.
Also, Rebbe, just to justify your Havamina,
yeah,
that not these are all bad, is that by Og, because I'll say that Og was not miskaven Hashem Shemayim. He was miskaven that Avram should get killed and he would marry Sarah.
I know that. So why is it a schus?
Even though
then we should say it's not a schus at all. That's a medrash. I'm not dealing with that medrash. The medrash wants to say that even in the schus there was an evil, but plain pshat is that the fact that he wanted to save Avram, there was a desire there.
Let's say according to the Medrash, where he was not miskaven Hashem Shemayim, but God rewarded him anyway, right?
No, why? But then he shouldn't get any reward.
Maybe because the bottom line is, he still did help Avram Avinu, and he was instrumental in saving Lot and helping Avram. And there's an idea of by a person being attached to Avram Avinu, he gets rewarded. He can get
even though he did it for his own sake and the complete riches. Does that make any
right?
Sense? That doesn't make any sense.
It's not based on his own perfection.
I'm glad you said that, Rabbi Shai. I'm glad you said that. It always bothered me, that part. Because once he's doing it, it's a carrot, it's an evil. He wants him to die so he can get his wife. So where's the goodness? That always bothered me.
Yes,
I argued with people on that.
Yes, and no matter what you say, he could have had a lot of motivations, but there was down deep, there was a recognition of Avram. And that's why he had his chus. Yeah, but I hear your question by Lovin. Your question by Lovin is, how do you know there was a recognition of the goodness of the of his daughters? Yeah, let me think about that a minute. So that's a good question. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that his chus would stand by him. So he.
Well, Yaakov was afraid of Laban also. Maybe that's why. Maybe Yaakov recognized that it was his chus.
Yaakov was afraid of Esav.
I mean, maybe Yaakov detected that he really had that tzidkit. That's why he was afraid.
Rabbi?
Yeah, I would say that why did he make the go and he made the bris? He was Korah's bris. The fact that he had a Krishna's bris, which was based upon not only Shu, he had a Wahinocha, he had a Vodazara, but he also recognized the true God. He said, and he made the bris in order to restrain himself. So that, you see, he had an attachment to the good, because if he didn't have any attachment to the good, he would just send them away, and that's it. Why would he have to make a go? And why would he have to say that he had a recognition of God, and he had a recognition of Yeshua, why did he have to do that? If he was just afraid of God because we came to him in a chalom, he should have just said goodbye, and that's it. There wouldn't even be any need to go meet with him. But you see, the fact that he did shows that he had a tzar that was based on Yeshua as well, and he wanted to restrain himself. And he recognized the obligation to a bris. He made a bris between them. So that shows you that the activities were activities that were good, not just bad.
Yeah, it says Yishpatu Beninu.
Yeah, Yishpatu, correct. There was some recognition of a good there. And that's why he worked it out with the bris. He made the bris. The bris restrained him because of the fact that he bound himself by the shore. So there was definitely a good side in all that took place. It wasn't just, otherwise it was just fear of him, because God came to him in a dream, so he just sort of left, and that would be it. But you see, that's not what he did. So in his activities, there was definitely a good.
And that physical recognition of the gal, that was important to his particular psyche, Rebbe?
That was important.
The physical gal that he made, that was important to his particular psyche, that was necessary for him?
That came from a good side of him. He recognized the bris. And once he made a bris, he had an obligation to keep the bris. So he didn't want to just leave them, let them go. On the contrary, he wanted to let them go with a bris. And the bris definitely showed that he had a tzad of mishpat, and a tzad of din, and a tzad that recognized that he has chiyuvim and obligations. And he created the, what he did was, he created the obligations to prevent himself from doing ra.
That's a level.
That is a level.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Just to try to be Malamechova and Lavan. So the Ramban says, like, the reason why, what he was saying, like, Ma'asel Eila Hayom Ulevneh Mashay Yoladu.
Yeah.
He says it's like Kimitznatzal Devar Yaakov. He's like defending himself against Yaakov's accusations. He says, I just came after you, wanted to see my daughters. What good I could do for them or to the kids. I'll do some good for them. I'll make a bris. So he was like defending himself against Yaakov. He's Yaakov saying, you're crazy. You're coming after me. You're I've done good for you, you've done bad for me. And he's saying, look, I just came after you. I wanted to do good for my daughters and for my sons. I wanted to see what I could help them with. I mean, that's not really why he went after them, but he wanted to defend himself and look good in front of everybody else. That
he's just not learning their way. But Rashi's definitely not learning their way. My writer was from Rashi. The Ramban is true. The Ramban you quoted is learning differently.
Well, why do you
hold this? According to Chazal, have a libi.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. But is that he's just saying the Ramban says also, he says it there, chemla. That's what he's like saying. Like, how could I possibly do this to my kids? But
where's Ramban?
I'll
tell you what, read the Ramban.
Okay. He says, V'yoser nacho nira shehu der chemla. What could I do for my daughters? I have racham on them. Olivnehem anoldim bevesi, the sons that were born in my household, vehimli kibonai, they're like my own kids.
So in other words, it was sincere emotions.
Well, and the Ramban continues, but Omar Zekim is Nazi al Devar Yaakov.
But Ramban's a raya, because Ramban says that there was two things. On the one hand, he really felt bad. Nechmer Rachamov. So that shows that he had a good side. And on the other hand, at the same time, he was using it as a ploy.
Right, just because he says something, he's the ultimate Rama. Just because he says, like, he has Rachamin and Chemla,
yeah,
he's just good.
But read the Ramban from the beginning again.
Okay. The Yoser Nacho Nira, Shehu Der Chemla, V'liv Nosai Ma'aseh Le'ele Asher Lefanai. Ki Nichmaru Rachamai Aleihem. My mercies have been stirred up over them.
Ki Nichmaru Rachamov means a sincere...
No, Rachamai. Meaning, Lavan is talking. The Ramban's not saying that about Lavan. Lavan is saying, this is what Lavan's claiming. My mercies have been worked up. I feel bad for them. They're like my own kids. That's what Lavan's saying, but he's a Rami. Why would you trust him? He's just saying that because he's trying to defend himself against Yaakov, and he wants to look. Why did I chase after you? I'm trying to see what I can do good for them. I'm a wonderful father and grandfather, and I care about them. And I'll make a bris now to protect them, but he's a Rami.
Could somebody quote the Ramban from the beginning?
Okay. The Yosef Nacho.
Start earlier. Start a little earlier. I think that maybe you might want that. I don't know.
The Livnosai. Okay. Fine. Two lines earlier. The Livnosai Ma'asel Eila Hayom. That's the Devar Yamasko.
Okay.
Amru Shehu Kimo, the Livnosai Ma'asel Hen Hayom. Vitosefes Bior.
He what?
Vitosefes Bior. It's really saying, what can I do for them? That's what Ibn Ezra learns. No, he quotes Ibn Ezra before. Sometimes you just repeat. Like, the question is just, why is it double up? La'ela. Uvlivnosai ma'aseh la'ela hayom. He just said Livnosai, why does he have to add in the word La'ela? Ibn Ezra is just saying sometimes it's Tosefes Bior, it's just extra, but it's not really adding anything.
I see.
But the Ramban says, no, that's not what's going on. He's speaking in a way, V'ndiyosir Nachon, Nirishu Der Chemla. He's like speaking in a way which is conveying compassion. Livnosai, these are my daughters, Ma'aseh La'ela, Asher Lefana. He's like pointing to them. These girls are my daughters in front of me. La'ela. My mercy has been aroused for them. O live Nehem, to the sons, Hanoldim Bevesi, which were born in my house, the Hamli Kibonai, like my own kids. Vizetam Asher Yaladu. That's what he's live Nehem Asher Yaladu, is the kids that were born in my household. So he's like speaking in a way which is conveying how he's like he's merciful and he's his emotions have been awakened for his kids and his grandkids.
At this point in the Ramban, you could interpret it to mean that it was really Nechmer Rachmov.
Right. you could learn that he was being honest. But then the Ramban goes on. He says, Amar Zeh, so why does he say this? Ki misnatzeh al divrei Yaakov. Like he's defending himself, an excuse against what Yaakov had said to him. He says, Ki bati acharecha liros benosai. I came after you to see my daughters. Uma'ufa la'asot lahem tova olivnehem. And what good could I possibly do for them or for their kids? Ba'ata, and now, etiv lahem. I'll do good for them. Shetichros li bris. I'll make a bris with you for them. Shlotano some. You won't cause them to suffer. V'lo tikachaleam nashim. You're not going to marry other wives. So he loves the Rambam. He's saying it in a way like he's trying to justify why he chased after them. He's just chasing after them.
But all that shows that he has a sense of justice and he's acting justly.
But why do you trust him, Rabbi? Just because he loves saying this. He's trying to justify himself.
What is the game? Why don't you just leave?
Because he's standing in front of all the people from his town that he gathered together, and Yaakov's accusing him of being a total jerk. And he's saying, what are you talking about? I'm not doing anything. I love my kids, and I'm just trying to take care of them. Let's make a bris. I'll show you. That's why I came.
Yeah, but why did Lavan chase after him in the first place, Aaron?
He chased after him because he wanted to kill them, destroy him, get all the stuff back.
Oh, so he doesn't have to use excuses. He could just wipe him out. The fact that he's using excuses means that he's trying to have some sense of justice. He changed.
No, if God hadn't come to him and said, don't do anything good or bad to Yaakov, he would have killed them. Yeah, he's a total Rasha. It's just now that God told him he can't, now he has to come up with some excuse of what is he doing chasing after him. He's just saying, Yaakov, you're taking them away. I want to do good for them. I would have sent you out with trumpets and songs, and I love my kids. I want to do good for them, but he's a total Rama. You can't trust him. He's a Rasha Gamla.
So then why would he say Yishpatu B'denu, the God of Abraham, should be judged between us? If he's just trying to defend himself to Yaakov?
He's putting on a whole show of he's making a bris for his daughters, but he's just a showman.
But why is it? That doesn't sound like that. It sounds like there was some good there in what he was doing.
Rabbi, don't you say if a guy's a Rasha, looks like he's a Rasha, even if he does something which looks good, you're supposed to interpret it in a way which is not really good? Because you know he's the con man, right? You don't don him the kapskos. He's a Rama. He's the biggest con man in the Torah. And if this could be a point in a con, of course it is. Why give love on the benefit of the doubt?
The Russian Ramban is not much more than I don't have Ramban in front of me, but Rosh Ramban, Rabbi Mann?
Yes.
Do you have a Ramban in front of you?
Yeah, I have a Ramban, yes.
Yeah, so tell you what, do me a favor, you read the Ramban.
By the way, if you look at the Ramban in the next pasuk, on Mem Dalet, he says, V'hoyel A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Shema Hashem, V'nei L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avol Yomar, I assume this is Lavan still speaking, I don't think it's Yaakov speaking, it says, Avol Yomar, V'hoyel HaBris, L'Eid Be'noseinu, Ki HaOver, Olav, Yikala B'chol, Elos HaBris, Ketan V'hoyel B'chol, Olos L'Mofes.
So he accepted the Olos.
Yes.
It's a sham, though. I mean, that's his ploy.
No,
doesn't
get fooled
by him.
You're saying the old bris is a ploy. It's not much more like that.
I mean, the Ramban doesn't say that openly. The next pasuk he says. He's making reference to the bris that was made between him and Hashem. B'chol olos bris. B'chol olos bris, right.
Rabbi Meir.
Yes.
Do me a favor, read the Ramban.
Which one? From where?
Where he says the pshat, where he says zom pshat.
So there's no sign mos el ela. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, that's right.
The levnosay mos el ela hayom. Amru, he quotes the Eben Ezra and Radak. Shukamo vilevnosay mos elahen hayom. Vehito sefes biur. Vechina shenish banu shneinu ach anachnu. That's from Nehemiah. Then he says, "Biyoser nachon, nira shehu derech chemla, v'levnosai ma'asa le'ela, ashelafonai, ki nichmuru rachmai alehen olivnehen and oladim bevesi behem lig kibonai v'zeh tam asher yoladu v'amar zeh ki misnatzel al divrei Yaakov ki vasi acharecha liros benosai u'ma uchalasos lehem tova olivnehem. As a question. Va'ata etiv lahen shetichros li bris shalotano son v'lo tikach alehen nashim. That's the end of the Ramban.
Hold on. Yeah, go back up a few words.
Okay. Kinichmu rachmai alehen, olav nehen, han oladim bevesi, behem li kabanai, v'zeh tam ashe yoladu. V'amar zeh kemisnatzel al divrei Yaakov. Kivasi acharecha liros benosai. U'ma uchalasos lehem tova, olav nehem. Va'ata etiv lehen, shetichros li bris, shlota'ana osan, v'lo tikach alehen nashim.
That's it.
That particular Ramban. Then he goes on to Bahaya L'Aid.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bahaya L'Aid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lashon Rashi. He quotes Rashi. V'yeinenu kamash mo'o. Aval yomar, v'haya habris, l'Aid, beinosenu. Ki over alav yikulo v'chol olos habris. Kitam, quote, v'hoyu v'cha la'os u'lamofes. Otamo, nichrus abris, v'davar kayim, she'yia le'ed be'nosenu. Al-kein harim Yaakov Evan. V'huma she'omar, eid ha'galazeh, v'eida ha'matzeva. Kitam, quote, v'yoma Yoshua, hine ha'evan azos, t'yevanu le'eda. That's the end of that Ramban.
Okay. Yeah, so it is mashma like Aaron's saying, that according to the Ramban, he was just trying to defend himself. It's mashma like that. That he was trying to save face. But there was nothing real there. Ain't a hanami. But I think the plain pshat in Rashi is not the word. The plain pshat is that he really was sincere. Because Rashi doesn't say that it was part of Ramban's.
Why does the Ramban in that second piece say ki over olav yikula b'chol alos habris? Why does the Ramban bring that in? It seems like an objective criteria.
I mean, he's subjecting himself, and he's subjecting himself to the olos habris.
Exactly.
Well, you could always say whatever a guy says. That he didn't mean it.
You can always say that.
Yeah, but that the point of Aaron, I believe, is that if he's a rabbi, he'll say it.
That's right.
He'll say whatever it takes to convince you, but he doesn't mean it.
That's correct.
Rabbi, isn't it a talk of the guy's running after you and going for his truffin, and then he wants to make a bris with you? I mean, isn't that...
He's going very far. Why did he have to make the bris for? What if he just could have said, I came by, I ran after you because of the fact that I wanted to do good for my daughters. Why did he have to make the bris? I mean, plain shot seems that he recognized the bris. I'm trying to think, I have to have a ride for it. I know what I mean. You could always say whatever he said was just remorse.
And he's muchzak that way, Rabbi. He's muchzak.
In love and Arami.
Yeah.
Aaron never gives the guy benefit of the doubt.
No, you got to be melamed chov on a rasha. A guy who's muslik is a rasha, you should melamed chov. Any way you can interpret him that it's rishas, you know that's what's going on. A guy who's a real rasha,
what do you do with where do we melamed chos for everybody?
Well, for a guy who's not a rasha?
Where do you see that by rasha? You always melamed chov.
The Rambam in the, on the Perish Mishnayos on have a Dan Kol Adam Lekav Schos.
What does he say?
I think he says that it just means a Beinoni, but it's Tzaddik, even if you see him doing something which is like totally, looks like he's doing something that's completely Aser, but if there's any way to interpret it for a Zechus, you have to do it. And the opposite for Rasha, if you see him doing something which is like, looks like it's something that's a mitzvah and it's a really good thing, but it's possible to reinterpret it to be, he's doing it for like rishus, then you're chayav to do that, to interpret it as being rishus. And danikol nashchus only means a benini.
I mean, you shouldn't be, you can't be a fool.
Yeah, there's chazakas here. You know a rasha is always, he's a rasha. And I, it looks that way, well, that's why he's doing it. Should I read it, Rabbi?
Yeah, but from Og Melech HaBashim, definitely have a rasha.
No, the question was, it was not Lashem Shemayim. He was trying to have a Sarah, Avram die so he can marry Sarah.
Yeah, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that because his chus will stand by him?
Because he lived a very long time in the chus of helping out Avram. It's still, you can have a chus even if your kavan is not Lashem Shemayim.
Why? What kind of chus is that? You're doing something good for Rishis. Why should you have a chus? That's not logical.
That I agree with 100%. I never understood that part.
You have to say he had some recognition. And that even in Russia, even in Russia Gomor, he has a recognition. And that's why it says, Mishalim Musonov Alponov Lavido. But even the person that's in Russia still has many person. And that's why God pays him off. And I think Taisa says that how come you see a Russian lives to an old age? Because maybe he has some schus. So you see that when a person is a Russian, it doesn't mean he's devoid of chusim. On the contrary, the pasuk says clearly that Mishalim al son of the son of Alpon of Lavido, that even though he's a Russian, but still he has certain schusim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him back because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapech Schar Kol Beria.
Language of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva backs that up, because he says blatantly, "Kol echad ve'echad b'mnei ha'adam yesh lo zechuyos v'avonos."
Kol echad ve'echad.
Kol echad ve'echad b'mnei ha'adam yesh lo zechuyos v'avonos. Then he goes on, "Misha zechuyos." You say rosh alavonos of tzaddik. Misha, you know the whole thing, the shikol. But he says, "Kol echad." He starts off by saying, "Kol echad ve'echad."
Correct.
B'mnei ha'adam. It's mashma, like you're saying.
Correct.
Peer. He doesn't exclude. He doesn't, you know, limit, make any limitations. Chutzman harashai. He doesn't say that. He says every single person in existence has.
The Rebbe, you're not recanting about Hitler, though. You're saying Hitler still is completely Russia.
Yeah, but that's an unusual. That's an unusual Russia.
Okay, so we're still maintaining that. That still can't happen.
That's correct.
Okay.
But in general, it's not true.
Right.
Even though a person's in Russia, he has many schlossen.
Even by Paro, Moshe said, Lama Yom Mitzrayim.
Correct.
So now the question is, where we find the good by loving, according to Aaron's question.
Right.
Okay.
Could you point to the pasuk by when Hashem is speaking to Lavan? He says, Tenti Deberim Yaakov Mitov Adra. Like, maybe there's at least, I guess, I don't know what the right words to say is, but God had a havamina that it was possible for Lavan to do tov? Like maybe there's somewhere in his nature?
I mean, because he said mitov adra. So apparently he could speak tov.
Doesn't Rashi say over there, I don't have that in front of me, but doesn't Rashi say over there that the reason I say that is because his idea of tov is not going to be good?
Yeah, I feel tov should be Rishayim.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, but no, that could mean the effect of what he's...
Correct. Even it shows you, doesn't mean it's not being motzi, the pasuk midei pshuto. He really has, there really is a tov, but from that tov, that tov of Russia, evil comes out usually. It's an admixture. It's a hybrid. But there is tov. That, I was thinking of that pasuk. That pasuk seems to indicate plain shot that he did have some tov.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, God's endorsing it.
But God told him, I don't want your tov. Because even the tov of Russia eventuates many times in evil.
Well, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just recognizing that he was a Rami. And what Levin considers good is really going to be evil.
Yeah, but God says so.
He's talking to him in his language.
No, but
if God, what you think is good is not good.
If God says so, there has to be some good. I would say that's a good raya.
That's good, Joe.
That's a good raya that there was so.
Ready?
Yeah.
You see, by back in Chayei Sarah, by Eliezer, Lavan also says, "Vayomer bo Baruch Hashem." He does use Shem Hashem without anybody prompting him to do it.
He says, "Bo Baruch Hashem."
Yeah.
Yes, so therefore.
Well, he has a recognition of God, as opposed to say like Esav. You know, that was what kind of threw off Yitzchak. Esav never used Shem Hashem, but since Lavan did.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's 100% right.
He does it again by Eliezer. He says it's from Hashem. How can we say no?
That's correct. Yeah, it does seem that there was some tov, but I think the best right is Hashem l'chom idaver miyakov mitov ad ra. So there was, if it says mitov, it can't be there's no good here. It must mean that there is some good. But the God didn't want him to use the good because the rush is good, eventuates in bad. But not that.
That also reflects him being in conflict, Mitov Ad Ra.
That's right. There has to be some Tov.
Rabbi?
I would say so, yeah. Yes.
Do you want to hear that Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos about the Rasha, or?
No, I believe you. You mentioned it. But okay, we might as well do it.
He just says, B'chinim haya Rasha v'nitzparsim ha-maisav v'ra'inu she'asa maisa she'kol tzadav marin shuto v'yishko tzadav shuris Rachok me'od l'ra. It's all angles. It seems like it's good. There's just a far out possibility that's bad. So achlizar mimenu v'lo l'hamin botov.
That's only how you treat him. That's not what he really is. In other words, you treat him that way.
V'lo l'hamin botov.
Yeah, you treat him that way, but it doesn't mean that it's not talking about what he really is. It's talking about how you should be no way with that person.
Uh-huh.
The din is nealed. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of it another way.
Yummy?
Yes.
Yes. The bris. Yaakov swore on the bris. You're saying that Lavan didn't really mean what he was saying about the bris?
That's hard to believe.
Hard to believe.
You mean how good? Because it says, Yeshiva Yaakov Afachad. That's a good word. Afachad of Yitzchak. So if it was really phony, he wouldn't swear to it.
Right. He would have said Elokei Avraham, but since Lavan also included Elohei Nechor, so he went to the next generation. But otherwise, he would have swore by the God of Avraham.
But what I'm saying is like this: that if Lavan had no belief in the Bris at all, so it was all Sheker. So then why then Yaakov couldn't make a Shvuah? because it's called Yeshua Sheker.
Right.
You must say that even though he had motivations, but nevertheless, he did believe in it.
Right.
I mean, that's pashtus in the pasuk. And that's why Yaakov was able to swear to it. Because if it was a total fake, so then he couldn't swear to it. That's a good raya. It's hard to say. Right. From the pashtus of psukim, it's hard to say that it was totally raw.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Is the fact that Rivka sent Yaakov to Lavan indicative of the fact that he had some redeeming qualities? If he was a Rasha Gamor, it seemed that whatever daughters come from him would be no better than the Benos Kana. Is the fact that Rivka sent Esav to find a wife from the Mishpacha of Lavan, is that indicative of the fact that Lavan had some redeeming qualities? Because otherwise, why would she send him there and not just find the wife somewhere locally?
You said Yaakov.
Yeah, when Rivka sent Yaakov, that's what I'm talking about.
You mean you're talking about Yaakov?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought if he was totally evil, she wouldn't have sent him there. It's a good point. I mean, it shows he couldn't have been totally evil.
Well, maybe his daughters were just like a Tzedekes Ben Rasha.
Why would Rivka send Yaakov there? What's the advantage?
They're good girls. The girls there were good.
They weren't born yet. What did she know? What did she know of them?
All the girls in that household were good. The men were all Rishayim and the girls were all good.
Yeah, but how did she know?
Suel. Rivka was good from there.
But she said, Mibnos Lovan Achi Mecha. He said, Yitzchak said, Mibnos Lovan Achi Mecha. So apparently he knew Lovan, and if he was totally evil, it wouldn't be possible for him to send him. Makes sense.
Achi Mecha said, it was just Lovan, he wouldn't say Achi Mecha.
That's correct.
But Achim
Mecha. Yeah, it was Rivka's.
The girls in the household were all Tzedek, right? Sar Rivka, Rachaleya, Bill and Zopa, but the men were all Rishayim. Nachar, Besuel, Lavan. The men are Rishayim, but the women are...
Yeah, but the thing is that if they're absolutely evil, it doesn't make any sense that he would send them. If they're a Shem, okay, but they have a good side too, and the daughters can pick up from the good side. But if they're totally evil, how would they become tzaddikim?
Maybe Milka. Milka was involved. She set up a whole household. She was Sarah's sister. She had 12 kids, just like Bnei Yaakov. So maybe Milka was involved in setting up a women's mesorah there.
Yeah, but that's not the Lashna Pasuk.
So Aaron, how could Lavan say May Hashem Yetzer Dover by Eliezer when he came for Rivka?
Lavan the con man?
What was he getting out of it? What was his motivation?
I don't trust Lavan for one second.
It could be, but I think from all the psukim, it would seem that he wasn't a Rosh Hashanah that didn't have a single mitzvah.
Was he rewarded, Rabbi? Do you see any evidence that he was rewarded for his chasim?
What's that?
I mean, like the other cases, he lived a long time. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he got 40 years of malchus. Esav, his malchus goes on. Like when Chazal say it, they always say it based upon...
Well, Nebuchadnezzar has chasim.
Right. Even though Nebuchadnezzar killed all these people and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he had his chasim. Of the four psios that he went to get returned from Chizkiyah, to share the letter.
That's correct.
Therefore,
so that's a riot to what we're saying.
No, and that's right. Even the Rambam's right. The Rambam has that. That even Nebuchadnezzar was the biggest Russia, and he killed all the Jews in Australia based in Mikdash. But because of his four steps that he took for the Kravat Shemayim, he was zochet to have rule for 40 years.
That's correct.
Yeah, but where do you see Lavan had, he was rewarded? If Lavan had tzchus, why didn't God reward him with anything? Where was his reward?
He had a big reward. He was very successful.
I mean, became wealthy because of Yaakov?
He is not that he said that.
V'ruchenu b'gulalech.
Nechashti v'ruchenu Hashem b'gulalecha. Why did he say that?
Because he wanted to say that. He realized Yaakov was the source of the bracha, and that's why...
So there was a
prayer. Yeah, but that itself is a schluss. He was Moda.
That's correct.
He didn't take credit himself. So he gave Yaakov the credit.
He's no fool. He's no fool. He realized where his bread's buttered.
Nah, that was at the end already. That was at the end. That was when he had to give him, when he had to pay him off. Yeah, it's a good raya. That's very nechashti v'varchei Hashem b'golecha was a recognition of the tov. So you see, he did have recognition.
Knowledge. Even in that very statement, nichash, v'nichashti, he's involved in superstition and nonsense. Even in that very statement.
Yeah, but v'varchei Hashem b'golecha shows that he recognized God, and he recognized that there is such a... Even though he had superstition, doesn't mean he denied God totally.
That's true. That's true.
He didn't have to say that.
The fact that who was it? Rachel stole the truffim indicated that she thought he was capable of changing, of becoming a better person.
That's a good raya, because she knew him, and she thought maybe she could save him.
Right, and if he was such a mushkos, there'd be no point in doing it.
That's correct.